Welcome to the Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we're on location in Schererville, Indiana, at the Myers Galeros Group with Jeff Myers, the Chief Operations Officer. Hi, Jeff, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark.
Just to get started, why don't you tell me a little bit about you as the individual?
Me as the individual. So born and raised here in Northwest Indiana, 30 years old, going to be 31 Friday. So looking
Happy
forward
birthday.
To that. Thank you. Let's see. Like I said, grew up here in the area, went to Lake Central. After that, went to Indiana State for a while and trying to figure out kind of what am I going to do with my life. Family has been here for a long time in the insurance business and thought, hey, maybe I'll give that a shot. Came home for Christmas break one year, started working here in the office and said, you know, if it doesn't work out, I'll go back. That was 11 years ago. So that's kind of my story.
Okay.
As far as who I am. But other than that, besides work, just involved in the community and things here in the area.
Cool. So going on to the business side, why don't you go into a little bit of the business, the family history, and it looks like a recent merger.
Yeah. So the business today is Myers Galeros Group, which is consisted of the Myers family and the Galeros family. The Myers side of the family, we owned an insurance agency that was Hammond Insurance Agency. That started back in Hammond in 1931. And my grandfather was involved in the business. He got involved in 44 and I think bought into the agency in 47. My dad came into the business in the 80s, and then I came into the business 11 years ago. Back in 2001, we moved from Hammond to Schererville and changed the name to HIA Insurance from Hammond Insurance Agency. And then in 2014, myself and Matt Galeros, who is married to the girl who grew up across the street from me, and that's how we met in high school.
Oh, that's cool.
And they had a benefits-only firm called Employee Benefit Systems, and they were in Dyer, strictly doing health insurance for small to large groups, did nothing on the property casualty side, and we did very little of that. Then ACA, Obamacare, came out and kind of turned that whole world upside down. And so Matt and I started getting together and figuring out how can we use that to our advantage to have all the lines of coverage in one area and have the expertise that is needed for that complex market. He saw a lot of pressure from the Chicago and Indianapolis area from larger businesses, as well as we did, that had everything under one roof and in one house. So in 2014, we got together, put a plan together, merge the businesses together to create Myers Galeros Group. You know, things have been good. Right now we can say we're, at least on the health insurance side, we are the largest agent in probably from the Lafayette area up and from South Bend over to the Chicagoland area.
Okay.
For benefits insurance in Northwest Indiana now. So it's been a great thing for us.
Okay. So you said 2014 was the transition into that?
Yeah. So the conversation started back when Obamacare, ACA, the conversation started. It took Matt and I think 3 years to kind of do all the back work to put the businesses together and make sure everything was going to be the right fit for us.
So it was the two of you. So both your fathers are still involved in the business, or are they?
Yeah. So Will Galeros and then Larry Myers. They're still here every day, owners of the business, but they gave Matt and I kind of the freedom, knowing that, you know, the exit plan for them at some point is Matt and myself. So they kind of gave us the freedom and said, hey, you know, consider us your business partners on this deal. Come to us with a business plan, show us how it's going to work, and let's see if it's something that we want to do.
Cool.
And yeah, ultimately turned out well for us.
Yeah. So you said while you were in college, you came back and started in the family business. Was there initially a resistance to stay away from the family business?
It was always there.
Okay.
But it wasn't something that I had truly committed to or considered at any level. It wasn't really until in college and talking to counselors and taking all the different testing and things that they give you to find out what kind of career path would you be good at. And on every single one of them, sales and insurance sales was on the top of it. And I kind of found that comical.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I have a really good opportunity to see if that's something that I want to do. Sure. And if it doesn't work, if I took a semester off or, you know, even a year off, would I really be hurting myself that bad to just jump into it and see if it's something that I even like?
Sure.
I did like it, so I kind of shifted any educational things and shifted directly into the insurance field. Went to a lot of company-sponsored events, different training things that was specifically for insurance rather than the kind of traditional education route.
Okay. So. Yeah, I think the college time for all of us is a time of awakening, and don't stare the gift horse in the mouth, you know.
Right.
You know, you've got the opportunity. You might as well at least test the waters.
Right.
Yeah.
So rather than, I'm sure my dad's probably thankful that I didn't spend 4 years there spending his money and then come back and do ultimately what I ended up doing anyway.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Exactly. It seems like there's a trend of not doing that, whereas in years ago it was, yeah, just go to college and then when you get done you can come back and run it. But like you said, it's more expensive and more expensive. College is crazy money.
I can honestly say it wasn't until my friends started graduating college that I then took a step back and just went back to my parents and said, you know what, thank you.
Right.
Because I realized the amount of money and debt that most of my friends and came out of school with and are still just trying to get ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately I haven't had to do that, so
yeah.
That has been nice.
And I'm 44 and I have friends that are still clawing at their student loans, which I'm glad I never had to take any, but
right. And for most people that just isn't the case, and then life gets in the way, you know.
Right.
House, cars, family.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how you get out from underneath it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So insurance, it's kind of a dirty word sometimes.
It is. It is.
On the small business side of it, what's your approach to explain how important it is to do that work up front in any kind of business?
So it definitely is a dirty word. And if you look at our name, we are very specific. It's Myers-Glaros Group. It's
okay.
Not Myers-Glaros Group Insurance or anything.
Right.
We kept it out of there for a reason. And unfortunately, it's something that's been so commoditized. You hear the commercials of 15
right.
minutes could save you 15% or less or, mm-hmm. or whatever's out there. And so it's become so commoditized. And insurance really is not a commodity thing that, you know, you have to have it in order to get a loan or protect your car. And so when you're looking at personal side of things, people ultimately go, well, I've got a house that's worth X, it should cost this much to insure it. I've got a car that costs X, it should cost this much to insure it. That's really just one component of it. The liability components of it is much more important. You know, you work hard for the things that you have. You put money away for retirement. You have a family. God forbid something happens. Yes, you want that big asset to be protected, but there's other ways you could cause injury to someone, or someone could sue you for something. And what you really want to protect is those assets that you've built and are yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to get in a car accident and have your wages garnished for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
So you want to have the proper liability limits. You
right.
know, if you're worth $1 million, but you only carry $100,000 of liability, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's been very commoditized. So we take more of a consultative approach to insurance on the personal side as well as business. Businesses, we usually go in and we kind of joke. We say, you know, your insurance costs are typically between benefits and your property casualty. It's your highest expense next to your payroll. And when people really start thinking about that, they're like, wow, you're right. So let's get creative about it. You know, let's not just look at it from a product standpoint and say, okay, you got a building, you got employees, and you've got benefits. Let's just, here's the products that'll cover that. What can we do to help lower your exposure? is it return to work programs, wellness programs. We do a lot of automation for our clients. We give them HRIS systems and things to automate processes, because enrollment processes for a 50 group employer, they may have someone sitting there and spending 2-3 weeks putting paperwork together for open or for health and benefits. We digitize the thing and we're done in one day. So it's a value added.
To get rid of some of those soft costs.
Right.
Yeah.
So we like to go in and really sit down with someone and try to figure out what's going on in your life, if it's personal, or in your business. What's going on in your business life that we can help streamline or make something easier or better for you? Where are the pain points? And then price is always going to be a consideration. I mean, there's no way around that.
Right.
But if we can do something for the same cost or reduce time of what it takes to implement those things, there's a value to that.
Right. Yeah, those soft costs can sneak up and bite you if you're not careful. And if you guys are able to help reduce those, you can't just look at that single line item for the insurance. You have to look at the whole picture.
Right. And so we'll look at sometimes, like I said, recently we were working with a machine shop. It was like $30,000 that we ended up saving them on their program. And their HR department, like 3 weeks of their time of not having to deal with stuff.
Right.
And it wasn't until that point that we were kind of thinking that, okay, their profit margin, they said, is X. And they said, that was just like adding a couple $1 million to our business this year in production.
Oh, right.
It was like, I never really thought of it that way.
Go backwards.
When that direct line is reduced and that's all going to the profit line now, they just had a really good sales year. We were one of their best sales guys this year. So that's the way we like to look at it.
Yeah. And I think some of that is definitely just a mindset shift on the business owner's part to be able to look at things like that,
right?
Not just the line items for stuff. And that kind of brings me to, I had a little note here. So the company's been around since 31, 47, 80s, the last 10, 11 years for you. How a mindset shift has there been in the insurance industry over the years?
It goes ups and downs. It really does. We go through cycles of hard and soft markets. When it's a hard market and everyone is price, and then in a soft market, things start going down and people start valuing those value added because the price doesn't really hurt anyone. Hard markets can be fun because if you can come in with that blockbuster price, it looks awesome.
Right.
And you might get a client for life on that when you can mm-hmm. save them some money. But as an overall, the industry has definitely taken a shift to that more of that commodity mindset that it is all about price.
And is that on the business side as well as the personal side?
More on the personal side.
Okay.
Business insurance, that one typically, at least with the groups that we deal with, some of our clients, they put this right in that same bucket as their attorney, their accountant. When you're dealing with a lot of contracts, insurance, we do a lot of contract review. So you have a manufacturer, a construction company, some sort of trades, and they're going on people's job sites and they're signing contracts. In these contracts are a bunch of insurance requirements, and some of them have cost to them. So we do a lot of analysis and review of those items to make sure that those costs are built into their bids because it could cost them more money. So to some people that need it, we're just as important as their accountant, their attorney. They need that expertise. So those types of clients, they don't look at the price so much. They value the relationship and how quickly you can get back to them and your expertise in the business that they are in.
Right. It goes back to the value add.
Right. So, yeah. But yeah, definitely the personalized side of things is very commodity, kind of price driven. You ask someone, what's your liability limits? Most people have no idea what the heck you're talking about.
Right.
But they can tell you what they're paying. But they can't tell you what they're really buying. They're like, well, my house is covered.
Right.
Well, yeah, but how many? What's your liability limits?
Right.
They have no idea. And then you start getting into those deeper conversations of, Well, okay, you got a $500,000 house. How much money are you worth? You have $300,000 of liability. Do you see the problem?
Right.
Yeah. Yes, this is why we're $200 higher.
Right.
It's minimal.
Right.
But is $200 worth to be $300,000 of liability or $1.5 million of liability?
Exactly.
What looks better?
Yeah.
So those are tough conversations sometimes to have with people.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of like the mindset when you're buying a new car. You know, what's your payment going to – or what do you want your payment to be versus what's the price of the car?
Right.
The payment of the car is not what I'm looking for me personally. I'm looking for the price of the car.
Right.
But some people, that's all they care about is the payment.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's kind of become the American way. Now, mm-hmm. Don't tell me how much it is. How much is it per month?
Right.
And, okay, we can make that work, but is that the best deal?
Mm-hmm.
Not usually.
Right, exactly. I think you're right, though. It is the more of the mindset of society today.
Right.
Yeah.
How much per month?
Yep. So being the operations officer and the leader of the company, how easy or how do you ensure that no matter if it's you talking to a client or anybody else in the organization talking to a client, they get the same kind of service?
Policies and procedures. Okay. I'm sure everyone here sometimes rolls their eyes when I start talking about things, but there's some really good books out there. Recently we were here in the office, we'll pass around things. And I'm trying to think, The Double Double was one of them.
I just read that recently.
Okay.
Great book.
And that one I haven't started yet. It's sitting there waiting to start. But the other one was The Ultimate Sales Machine.
Okay.
And in that book he talks about, could you hire 50 people a week? And now, you know, we're an office of 16 people. We're not going to hire 50 people a week at this point. But what he's talking about is, could you theoretically say, here's your manual, do you have all the policies and procedures in place to start 50 people off, train them for a week, and let them loose? And then hire the next group next week, hire the next group the next week. And having all those things in place are vital, mm-hmm. because you have salespeople and then we have our CSR teams. Salespeople are a mess. So we say, you know, they create the tornado, they come in and they got to throw something on someone's desk, but then there's all this work that needs to be done. Someone's got to be able to clean that up, and it needs to look consistent for every client, no matter who brought it in.
Right.
So having all those policies and procedures in place to make sure that the quality of work and consistency is there is key.
Yeah.
We'd be lost without that.
I'm going through something similar right now with this podcast, like putting the systems in place
right.
to make sure it all happens in a sequence and the same for everybody. And, yeah, definitely right. systems.
Yeah. And so, you know, people always talking about, especially in our business, errors and omissions is huge for us. You know, if you call and tell me to add a car and it doesn't get done and you get in an auto accident, that comes out of our pocket now because you told us.
Right.
The insurance company's not going to pay for that. You know, we
right.
are.
Right.
Having those things in place and activity and documentation is mm-hmm. just the biggest thing on earth for us is... You know, I always tell people, I don't care who you're talking to or what it's about, document it.
Yeah.
You know, put it in our management system, make a note of it, set a follow-up if you need to, and make sure it gets done. And
yeah, the litigious society, definitely need to cover yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being insurance, we see all the lawsuits, too.
Yeah.
So we see all the interesting things that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, we had a client that was... we jokingly called them a claim a day, but it was a big operation and a lot of foot traffic. And my dad always tells me this story. They're sitting down and talking to someone that had a seizure in one of their locations. Known thing for them, you know, and they got injured when they fell. And so they're suing the location for injuries. And they just asked him, they said, you know, this is something that happens to you often, correct? And she said, yes. And they said, if this happened at your neighbor's house, would you be suing your neighbor? And she goes, well, no. And I said, why are you suing us? She goes, you're a business. You have money.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the mindset of most people. So, yeah, documentation on everything. And
you own your own business. You're not a millionaire?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. So 11 years since you joined the business. If you could go back 11 years and do something differently, do you have any words of wisdom for yourself?
Yeah. I think a lot of people, you get pulled in multiple directions of things and, you know, not completing things to completion. You know, something looks shiny over here, so you go after that. And being younger, you jumped around on a lot of different ideas and things. But I guess looking back at that, sometimes your failures are some of your best lessons. But, singular focus on things. If you do something well, stick to that. You don't need to venture out into other things sometimes.
Yeah.
Not that venturing out into things is a bad idea, but if you're good at something, pick a niche, focus on it, and be good at that. And if you want to expand into other areas, find the people that are experts in their field or their areas and partner with them on those things. There's no need to recreate the wheel sometimes.
Those are two great nuggets. One is systemize the thing before you move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second is to find that person that already knows what they're doing in the second thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are probably things I would go back and a little more singular focus on things.
Yeah. I can't recall the name of it, but there was a book years ago that it was like multitasking is the enemy or something like that. And I think that word multitasking gets thrown around so much in every industry, but it really is a detriment because if you don't do something from start to finish, it doesn't get done in the same manner than if you jump to this or that and this and go back to it.
Yeah. Even in our business, I'll talk to other agents and people that I know and respect. And the common thing I hear is, someone will say, well, I know enough to be dangerous. And in our business, I'm thinking, you're only dangerous to your customers sometimes. Because if you don't dive into something 100% with health insurance, it's all the compliance and everything going on the property casualty side. It could be changes in the laws and things that are going on, different OSHA regulations, things that are, you need to be on top of for your customers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to do it all, there's no way you can keep up on all of that. There's just not any way you can do it. So having people in our office that focus on specific areas and then bringing a team together has been a huge game changer for us.
Yeah. And then going back to the systems to be in place. So if you don't have a system in place when something does change and you have X amount of customers that you need to like get up to speed or change how they're doing things without the systems in place, it's a failed operation.
Yeah. Because what you find out is, this person does it this way. This person does it another way.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be that way. Right. Everybody needs the same information and it needs to be put out the same way.
And I think the big thing with systems, and I had the epiphany a few years back, that if I'm not able to do it and someone else is doing it, they need to do it just like it was me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if it's you as the owner or someone as the employee. If you need to plug and play employees in there, they need to be able to do it the same way every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned a couple books there. Recently, is there a book, podcast, or anything that you've had a big aha moment in?
Other than, like I said, The Ultimate Sales Machine, just reading through that book, they said for me it was that hire 50 people a day kind of thing, and just really honing in on the policies and procedures of things. Because that can be daunting sometimes, to sit down and actually go through all those things. And so you start it, maybe you don't finish it the best way that you should, or you hurry through something. You shouldn't hurry through those things.
Mm-hmm.
And even speaking of hurrying, is something important? I'm trying to think how somebody phrased this to me, whether it's important or urgent. You shouldn't have urgency if you've taken the time to do the important things.
Mm.
So, a lot of times people say, oh, I'm so busy at work. I've got all this stuff going on. well, are you busy because it's urgent or important? You know, it can be urgent and important. That's, yeah. That obviously happens, and those things need to get done. But are you constantly in being urgent because you didn't have the proper, the important things done?
Yep.
That if you had the right steps in place, you wouldn't be in these urgent situations all the time where it's like, oh, gosh, I got to get this done. And then you finish that and you look over and see something else. Oh, I got to get that done.
Right. The continuality of it.
Right. So, you know, would you have been better taking the time to do the important things so you don't have the urgent things?
Yeah, that's a good line.
So
the upfront pain for the long-term success.
Right.
Because it is painful at the beginning.
It is.
It is. Time-consuming, like even trying to document as you're doing the steps, like, oh man, I just want to get this done. I don't want to document it at the same time I'm getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
It can be antagonizing.
Yeah, even putting one of the things we're doing right now here in the office is updating policies and procedure manuals and going through and taking screenshots of things. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, it's, you know how to fly through it, but you forget how many little steps are in there if you're teaching somebody new how to do it. That,
yeah.
Well, how did you get from this point to this point?
Yeah.
You need to show them how that's done.
Mm-hmm. Every single screen.
Right. So, yeah, it's, yeah. It is daunting.
So back at the beginning, you mentioned how ACA was one of the drivers of you guys actually merging.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen over the next 18, 24 months with everything?
I am not qualified to answer that question. that would be Will or Matt here in the office. That
okay.
is their forte, their field. But you know, there's always going to be change going on from a political standpoint in this. You know, we've gotten into this. It's not going anywhere. You know, they're not going to completely repeal everything.
Sure.
I think moving on forward, there's always going to be some political or government involvement in the healthcare side of things. So with that being said, we look at it and say our job is even more important now because we need to be that person that is sifting through everything mm-hmm. and making sure our clients are compliant, understand what's going on, and have what they need. It's going to be interesting in the individual market moving forward. Most of the major carriers have backed out
right.
of it.
Was there one left in Indiana?
There, you know, there's several in Indiana, but in Lake County, I believe there's only one left,
okay.
and they're not contracted with the community hospital, which is the largest provider in the area. So that'll be an interesting thing for the individual market.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what a lot of those people are going to do, and there's no real good answer for it at this point.
And I guess I have been somewhat confused about it. A couple years back, I got booted out of my insurance plan, had to go on Obamacare, and that's the only option if you're not in a plan. Is that correct? Is through the exchanges?
So in the individual market, I mean, you don't have to go through the exchanges. There's still an individual market out there, but they're backing out of it. So whether it's on the exchange
okay.
or off the exchange,
okay.
there's not much of an individual market left.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what's making it complicated.
Right. And what percentage, and maybe you don't have the answer to this, but in Lake County, do you know what the percentage of people that are in the individual market versus group plans?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
I said I'd go try to find Matt
nah.
and track them down. They might know all that, but
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Because it's talked about so much, but I don't think the percentage is that high on the individual market versus the group market. But that's what dominates all the news coverage.
Yeah, and it's something here in our office. We help individuals out, but the vast majority of our work is you know, business and group plans. So I don't know if we have a real good pulse on it.
Right. Okay. All right, so outside of business, what occupies your time?
Well, volunteering, a lot of volunteering.
Okay.
I've been real active with Young Leaders United, which is a part of United Way of Porter County. That kind of got started several years ago. We used to have a group here in Lake County called Emerge South Shore that was headed up by the Legacy Foundation. And it was just a way for young professionals in the area to kind of get involved in different things going on in the community. That group has since kind of gone away, and like I said, got involved with Young Leaders United out in Porter County because I live out in Valparaiso.
Okay.
And so I spent a lot of time there, my church, you know, trying to find things that are positive impact. Kind of always say, and this is, you know, you and I know each other from Forest Ridge, and another Forest Ridge connection, Ben Puchnowski from over at People's Bank. You know, he and I were having a conversation one time, and I think he said it best. It was, you know, I'm in the insurance business, he's in the banking business. Why do we get so involved in the community and different things going on? Well, if we don't have really great communities that people want to move to, people don't need banking, they don't need insurance, there's no people moving here, there's no businesses moving here.
Right.
So I always kind of took that to heart and said, you know, I need to do whatever I can to help whatever areas that I live and work in.
Yeah.
So
that's a great point. Yeah.
So if you don't have a great area, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot of business there. So you're doing it kind of selfishly a little bit for yourself, but you know, the end result is you're right. having a lot of community impact. So,
well, a lot of times when you are helping others, it does in turn help you, but it's just a result, not the main idea.
Right. Yeah. As long as you're there for the right reason,
right.
It's a good thing. So I try to get involved as much as I can.
Cool. How about sporting? Anything like that? Any outside activities?
I attempt to play golf.
Okay.
An attempt is a good word for it. If it's not a scramble, I really don't want to play. Other than that, yeah, I enjoy sports shooting. You know, going to shoot clay, things like that. I'm not a hunter, but you know, just it's a good way to blow off energy.
Yeah.
So that's
is there a place locally here that you go to do that?
You know, I have not been. I moved to Valpo a year ago. I know there's some indoor ranges out there and some things out that way. And used to go down to Willow Slough, which was always a good run. You'd run down that way and then head over to Fair Oaks Farm, get some grilled cheese, maybe some ice cream afterwards. But I know they were doing some renovations to it, but I think it's back open now. I just haven't been down there this summer at all
yet. Yeah. I have not been sports shooting, but I've had a few people tell me I got to go out and do it, that I would enjoy it. So,
okay. And one of our companies, Westfield Insurance, they have a really cool setup out in Westfield. It's called Westfield Center, Ohio, and they have the whole town. You know, it's their offices, churches, schools, hotels, the golf course, everything is theirs. And they're real involved in a sport shooting club that's out in that area. So I was just recently out there, and they have the woods course and all these things, and you go out, and it's just a way to walk through the woods, kind of talk with people. You stop at a stand, it shoots off some clays, fire off a couple rounds, and walk to the next one, and you kind of score it and come back into the clubhouse afterwards. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. All right, so anything that we didn't talk about that you want to bring up, or?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I feel like it's been a good conversation. I can't think of anything that we missed.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. So just to wrap up, why don't you tell us where you're located, how to get a hold of you or your team?
So we're at 222 Indianapolis Boulevard in Schererville, Indiana. So most people are familiar with Omni 41 or Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant. We're the green roof office building directly behind Jalapeno's. Best way to get a hold of us is you can check us out on our website, which is MeyersGaleros.com, which is MeyersGaleros.com. Or you can give us a call at 219-865-6447.
Awesome. All right. Appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks, Mark.